Welcome to this University of Warwick LDCU Talking Online Learning Podcast. My name is Jim Judges, and in this interview, Senior Teaching Fellow Chloe Agg from the Engineering Department tells us about the use of software called GatherTown that replaces an in-person design showcase with a virtual online meetup for more than 150 people. It's a fascinating discussion with lots to learn from this experience. The physical experience of being in a place and meeting other people, as well as the coffee and sandwiches, may be missing, but as we hear, there's much to be gained from using this type of online meeting technology.
Hello, I am Chloe Agg. I am a Senior Teaching Fellow in the School of Engineering here at the University of Warwick, and I run our second year engineering design module, as well as coordinating our dissertation module. But today I'm here to chat about engineering design.
Excellent. Yes. And this seems like a really interesting and potentially exciting project. I appreciate that you've been forced into this situation as a result of the need to deliver your showcase online. But perhaps you could tell us, therefore, what would you normally be doing if you're allowed to meet in physical space? And what did you have to do to replicate that?
So on our usual design module, we get real life clients come in at the start of term two to give the students a briefing. The students design something across term two, manufacture it in the workshops in term three, and that culminates in a design showcase where the students bring along their manufactured prototypes and our clients come in to meet them and view the prototypes. Now, we have a cohort of about 115 students, roughly 10 clients that come in to do assessment. But because we've got all of these people in one place with some fantastic prototypes to show off, we also make this into a public engagement event. So not only do we have 125 students and assessors, we also invite schools, engineering employers, members of staff, and the public in general. So we can end up with 200 or so people all in one room. It creates a real buzz and it's really exciting. But obviously, during a pandemic, putting 200 people in one room together was just not going to happen.
Yes, yes. And yeah, sounds like a great, great event. Exciting thing to be involved in, but then quite a challenge. And I suppose you'll probably highlight these issues, but then the move to online presents some difficulties because working with students and staff with Warwick Accounts is one thing, but then trying to involve external guests who you may or may not know is another thing. So presumably that's been challenging. Anyway, do you want to perhaps tell us what tool you ended up using, and then we can go into some of the detail of how you set things up and what it was like and what the experience for yourself and participants was?
Absolutely. So we used GatherTown for the event, which is an online space where you get an avatar who can walk around, interact with objects, and speak with other people, and it gives you an audio feed and a video feed. So it's a bit like having a mobile version of Teams where you can navigate an online space.
Yeah. And having had a sneak preview and just been involved in the periphery of your setup, if we're going to describe it to folks, it's best to have a look at. But it does look like an old fashioned sort of computer game with a what would you say, a bird's eye view of a map. And you've got a little character that you can move around using your arrow key. What sort of functionality were you using then? So how were students presenting their contents that they would normally present in a workshop? What did you ask them to do and how did you arrange things?
Absolutely. So we had one main foyer space where people first arrived that had help and guidance for them. But the main part from a student perspective and, you know, how we're replacing this design showcase we would normally have done, we separated into three rooms, and each room had about six student teams in it. Each team had a what is called a private space in GatherTown, and that privacy doesn't mean that people can't come in and out. It just limits how many voices there are in a space, which helps manage the audio a little bit. And in each student's private space, each student team, I should say, was a poster board, a table which had a document on it, and a TV stand that had a video on it. So you could walk your avatar around, and when you got close to each of those objects, you could press X to interact. And on the poster that popped up with the student team's poster they had designed, so that's now filling your screen, and you can scroll around on it to view all of the details, zoom in and out. We had videos, so the students had filmed their physical prototypes. They'd been able to go onto campus, see the physical prototypes that had been made, and film it. So unfortunately, obviously, with an online event, you can't have a physical artifact in the same way as we would have done. So everyone had a video instead. And that table allowed students to also upload a photograph or other document as well. Everything had to be PNG format because GatherTown doesn't let you do PDFs, Word documents, but you could have websites.
Oh, OK. That's interesting. I hadn't appreciated that, actually. I imagine that those posters were PDFs, but it was PNG then. So that's worth knowing. Presumably that functionality might come. And what about the setup then? Because a lot of work had to go into getting this going. We might say something. People will be listening saying, well, GatherTown, I've never heard of that. So in terms of the software itself, it's worth anyone listening knowing that that has recently been approved for use. But there isn't a license, so there is a cost involved in using it, which you had to resolve, presumably, as well.
It depends on your numbers. So GatherTown hosts for free on their standard servers, but the more people you get into a space, the more clunky that's potentially going to get on their standard servers. So we had an event that we had paid for 200 people to attend at any one time. That means if people are dropping in and out, you could have more than 200 attendees in total. It's just a 200 simultaneous maximum. There's loads of deals on GatherTown all the time. So we had the maximum amount of permitted interactive objects, so that was totally unlimited how many we had. I think on lower tiers you're limited to something like 50, but that's still quite a lot of different things for people to go and click on in a space. And as I say, 200 people for a space of 8 hours, because it comes in chunks. I think you can have 2 hours, 8 hours, 24 hours or a month. And that cost us £250. If, though, you're running events for 25 people or less, which a lot of the time you are, if you're thinking about seminar groups and socials and things like that, it's totally free to do that. Not 25 ever. That is 25 simultaneous.
At any time.
And if
a
26th person turns up, it's not going to break. It's just potentially going to start slowing down and getting a bit clunky and stuttering.
That's interesting, and that's worth doing. And I suppose in a way, for ongoing groups, and if you want to try something different with the 25 or less, I could almost imagine it being an alternative to breakout groups. You know, you might be able to send folks off and have a few different spaces set up. But that's good to know. What about the technicalities then of, you've mentioned the PNG side of things. What about the video hosting and sharing? Because there's lots to think about there. How does GatherTown manage that? What did you do?
So GatherTown's got a couple of different ways you can do that. When you install any object you like in GatherTown, actually, and they've got all sorts of things. You know, you can insert anything from a birthday cake to an acoustic guitar to more standard things like poster stands and TV things and bulletin boards and stuff like that. So when you install an object in GatherTown, you can choose whether you want it to be interactive or not. And when you choose that interactivity, you've got options. As I mentioned, you can install an image, PNG format, or you can install a website. So you can choose for it to take people to a link, which will then sit within GatherTown. So if you interact with it, you're not taken out of GatherTown. It doesn't open a separate tab. It opens within GatherTown, so people can interact with that website within their GatherTown experience.
Okay.
So if you've got things like Echo 360 videos, you can have that as an embedded website like that, and people can go and watch that video from within GatherTown. If you've got YouTube or Vimeo videos, and it has to be those two formats, that's the only ones that work, you can also set it up as an embedded video.
Yes.
What I would say is that for embedded videos, specifically YouTube and Vimeo, and for embedded images, so PNGs, when your avatar is pottering about the space, a little preview will pop up and show you what you're about to watch so you can make a more informed choice about what you want to interact with.
Yes.
If you've embedded things as a website, it won't give you that sort of sneak preview, which is perhaps a little downside of if we're using things like Streams and Echo 360 to embed our videos.
Yes, and I was lucky enough to see it briefly on the day and see what a hive of activity was, and it looked great. To the casual observer, it's very different to perhaps a computer generated world, isn't it? We've already described this bird's eye view. It's best really if anybody who's interested just pops along to Gathertown to have a look. Do you have a view on that? Is it sophisticated enough for students who are used to playing more graphically appealing and even realistic games?
Oh, that's a really good question. So as you say, the best way for people to have a view is to go and look at it, and Gathertown's got some really nice simple free walkthrough set up, so you can go and have a nosy, and it takes literally less than 30 seconds to be in a Gathertown space from their website. So I can't recommend that highly enough. It's a really good question about whether it is graphically engaging enough. And I think if you compare it to tools like Second Life, which are really immersive experience, you know, students who are used to playing things like World of Warcraft, you know, perhaps you're thinking they're going to be seeking that kind of similar graphical interactive experience. And if we could do that, then that would be amazing for certain things where you would like students to feel that lived in opportunity. But what I would say is that actually, that takes a lot of bandwidth and a lot of processing power. So it potentially has some real accessibility and exclusion issues. What I would also say is that it's a lot more overwhelming when you've got such an immersive experience as that. So I think, you know, the downsides of things like Second Life, whereas I think actually the way that Gathertown has this sort of bird's eye view, and you're just walking your little avatar about, it isn't intimidating. It's got a sort of nostalgic appeal to it. You know, for those of us that have played things like Monkey Island, it reminds me of like being in the tavern at Monkey Island and pottering around and talking to people. And I really enjoy its nostalgia for that. But I also enjoy its simplicity. It's really easy to navigate your avatar around. But also because you've got that bird's eye view, because there is a map you can click on to see even more, it's really easy to navigate about. It's not too strenuous. Yeah. So it worked really well for our students. Our students really enjoyed it and found ways of making it perhaps even more than I had made it.
Yes.
Whereas actually we had clients as well who were in their retired ex-teachers and things like that. They weren't put off. They found it very engaging as well.
This idea that that sort of more sophisticated gaming environment might just be overloading, not just for the senses, but certainly for the bandwidth and the resources, and almost unnecessary once you get past that first glance. So, yeah, that sounds good. And what about the experience then? What about feedback? What would the student presenters experience and feedback, and maybe what were the guests and visitors experience? So do you have any feedback or anything to share? How did it go?
Yeah, so I set up a evaluation feedback form, so we have had responses on that, and they say things like, from the students, do this more often. I really enjoyed this. This was a great platform, really wonderful event. Really lovely feedback from the students who are enjoying it. But similarly, our external clients and staff saying that it was accessible and interesting, that they felt that Gathertown was interactive but intuitive. So, yeah, we had really positive feedback from people. Yeah. It was very much an enjoyed event by all who attended.
Yes, and it sounds like you were pretty brave to, you might say, use a new tool for the first time with a large group of students and guests. But I understand you had a backup available as well, just in case, which is always a good idea when we're relying on technology. Now, the reason for mentioning this is also perhaps to say something about what you just hinted at there, which is the accessibility. Is there anything in terms of these sophisticated tools and accessibility for anybody who might have any special requirements? Any view or thoughts on that?
Absolutely. So we, as you say, set up an asynchronous backup website, partly in case it all just went horribly wrong. So yeah, I was absolutely terrified, as you say, running this brand new platform for such a huge event. But I didn't feel like I had a lot of choice to make something as good as I wanted for the students. I couldn't see a better way of doing things with the tools that I'd previously used. So yeah, the asynchronous one certainly helped my mental health, but also it helped in a lot of other ways. So GatherTown and anything synchronous is going to have bandwidth potential issues and time zone potential issues. So having the asynchronous just standard website was really useful for that. It was also more accessible to people who didn't want the faff or the complexity of going into GatherTown. So for our general public, it was useful for that. But it would also work with a screen reader, whereas GatherTown is going to be more challenging for a screen reader. It was also, so GatherTown is a really new tool. It has got, therefore, some issues. You know, I absolutely loved it. I thought it was brilliant, but I'm using a laptop. And by all accounts, everyone who was on a laptop had no significant issues. But if you don't have a keyboard attached, so you navigate around GatherTown using the arrow keys and interacting with objects by pressing X. If you're using something that doesn't have a keyboard, Gather has worked out that you need the arrow keys, but it hasn't yet installed the X key to automatically pop up. So unless you've got a keyboard, you cannot interact with objects once you get in there. That's fine for talking to people. So Gather's way of talking is really natural, actually. You walk close to a group of people and the video and audio feed automatically pops up, which has got a lovely feel as you walk through the space, because as you get close to people, you just start hearing them and it's very natural. And you can go close to them and hear more of it and get involved in the conversation, or you can just keep on walking by. So you don't need to press X to talk to people. So you can go in on a tablet and still be able to have the conversation, see people talk, but you can't see any of the posters, any of the videos. So the asynchronous backup worked beautifully for people who were engaging on their phone or on their iPad or other tablet, because it meant they could still go in and have the face-to-face interactive experience with humans, but they could still see the objects separately on the website.
Yeah, and I'm thinking, we were having a chat about this before we started the recording, but I'm thinking that if we're aware of any accessibility requirements, or we ask about that in advance of a session, then there may be things we can do to improve the experience, just as we would for a physical meeting, perhaps.
Absolutely. So I've been working with these students since January. So I'm aware of the cohort, and I know there are no significant issues such as visual impairments that would prevent someone from accessing the space. If I was setting up, I also knew all of our client assessors personally, and prior to the event gave them all my mobile number. So if they had any issues, they could just phone me up and I'd be able to sort it out. In fact, I spent part of my morning sorting out people's IT issues beforehand, which is absolutely fine when they're really critical guests. But for a booked on to event rather than a general public session, you could certainly, as part of your booking form, like you would for a public event where you say, you know, what are your access requirements? And actually someone's going to come and meet you at the door and show you where the stair lift is or whatever else if you've got a mobility issue. For this, you could have someone come and meet you as a guide for visually impaired people perhaps. And you know, Gather actually has got the ability to set up one avatar to follow another avatar. So if you have got a guide, whether that's for a visual impairment or whether you're showing a group of school children around a space, you could set up tour guides around the space to support people and help them out. The other way you could do it, so we had a help area set up in our foyer space, which I put in some top tips of, you know, frequently found issues so people could troubleshoot a bit themselves. But actually the library engagement team were really helpful to me, and they came along and supported the event as well. So actually our help area was staffed so that if someone had an issue, you could pop along and someone would actually be there to talk to you and help out if needed. If you had a larger event, you could actually run this as a sort of reception desk. So when you could choose where people appear in GatherTown, so their first port of call would then, like loads of real life physical events, the first thing you would do would be to walk up to reception.
Excellent.
And they would point you in the right direction or offer you a tour guide or offer you access support if you need it.
That's great. Well, that's good to know. So presumably you're hoping that this time next year you'll be able to get back to things as normal and have a physical event. But could you see yourself using this tool for other activities or anyway?
Do you know, I'm really torn, actually. I assumed I would want to get back face to face, but the ability to do it online means that we've been able to access people who aren't local. So normally when I do this and I recruit our clients and get people to come along to the design showcase, they've all got to live in a short driving distance because people aren't going to commit to drive 3 hours to go to a 1 hour thing. It's just not reasonable to expect that of people. This means that we can have clients from all over the world.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah, we had a client the previous year from Kenya because it's all online. Why not keep elements of this online so that we can engage with people with issues all over the world and have a much broader positive impact and give the students a much more diverse experience of engineering problem solving.
Yes.
So I am torn because I do love face-to-face events, but maybe we get our face-to-face through the actual manufacturing of the prototype and maybe we keep this online so that we can have that broader reach, that better public engagement. So I don't know. In terms of other events, I'm seriously thinking about running a showcase for our project students, for our dissertation project students, to show off to the next year's students. This is what I can do. And again, to invite the public to that, so engineering employers could pop along and see some of the best work of our students. We've talked about maybe using it for staff socials. Certainly, there's a little bit of me that thinks I should set up an office in Gather so that I've got a place to go so that I can chat to my office colleagues in a casual and informal way now and then.
Yeah.
So I think there's loads of different potential uses for it.
It's good. It's interesting. And certainly sparked my imagination because I could also imagine, I don't know whether it would help or not, but I can also imagine perhaps a similar environment for some of our VLE content. It might take a lot of effort, but you can imagine in some instances it would be good to see a course or a module or a learning content or process mapped out in Gather Town, so you can wander into a room perhaps for each week or so. So you've certainly got my imagination fired up. Yes,
I would definitely recommend everyone go visit it because there's so much you can do with it. Yeah, we used it for a poster session, but actually you can set it up so that you can have like theatre sessions and seminar sessions. So you can have lots of tables for networking spaces. You can have lots of seats in a row and set it up so that everyone who is in those seats can see the person who's speaking on a stage, but they can't see the audience. But you can have a spotlighted place so that the audience can go and stand somewhere to ask a question and everyone can therefore see the conversation between the speaker and the questioner.
Yes.
Are embedded games within Gather Town. So if you're setting it up as a social space, you could have a table that's got a game that two people can play together, or four people, I believe. So there's absolutely loads of different things you can do with it. So if you're seeking out a way of having a... something informal and autonomous, because the trouble with teams and breakout rooms, which is what we're so used to now for socializing and for teaching and for assessing, is that you're stuck with the breakout room that someone puts you in.
What
I love about Gather Town is that you can choose. You are autonomous. You are in control of which group of people you speak to, for how long, and which things you engage with.
Excellent. Well, that sounds good. And indeed, we mentioned the fact that it's free to use for less than 25. But even where you have to pay, then if you can tap into a budget, it sounds like it shouldn't be a massive expense. And I know that perhaps what you've saved this year on the cost of sandwiches, coffee and biscuits, then you were able to channel into this type of activity. So it sounds like money well spent to me. Thanks for sharing that, Chloe. We'll put a link in the podcast for anyone who wants to have a look at that. So thank you for that.
My pleasure.
That's it from me, Jim Judges, and this episode of the Talking Online Learning Podcast from the LDCU at the University of Warwick. Please do have a look and listen at the other episodes in the series, and do pop back for future episodes as we continue to share experiences related to the world of online learning in higher education. Thanks for listening.